Hello, hello, hello.
Ooh,
oh, yay. It is.
Perfect.
Okay.
Hello. Welcome to our podcast.
Hello.
Welcome to our podcast. This is a great time.
This is a podcast.
Welcome.
Welcome. We are back. Oh my gosh. Also, I'm so rude. I took a bite of this pizza and then didn't swallow it. So it's okay.
I can talk about, while you're chewing, I can talk about how I have a new mic.
I know.
New technology. I'm so excited because literally I feel like every time we try to record, I have some type of mishap with my recording, or we listen back to it and it's echoey or fuzzy. So here I am, clear as day, on a new microphone.
I love Finally. It so much.
It's a We've good day. And you know what else happened today?
The freaking inauguration bell.
Woo! Oh my gosh. I was so happy. Like, my mood is just fantastic today.
I feel lighter. Like, I told Jason this morning, we were going to do something for my job, and it hadn't even happened yet. It was like 30 minutes before the inauguration, but everything had been peaceful so far. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, all right, we're 30 minutes out. Nothing crazy has happened. Like, you know, and we were on the way back home and I was like, I just want to stick my head out the window like a dog. Like, I just want to stick my head out the window and breathe in the fresh air. Like, I'm
no,
so
for real,
excited.
I feel like a whole weight has been lifted off my shoulders. We were screaming in our living room all day.
Oh, yeah.
Same. Watching the news. It was just a great day to be alive. Great day to meet America for once.
Yeah. And I think it was cool, too, to, like, that it was a peaceful transfer of power, even though there was, like, all this talk that maybe there wouldn't be. I was glad to see that, like, you know, there wasn't anything, at least not that I've heard of yet so far, that was, like, super, super crazy. So we'll see.
We were holding our breath the whole time. Like, we were just, like, please nothing happen. Please nothing happen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, anytime they walked outside, I was like, don't do that. Go in the building.
Right.
Go back in the car. Stay.
Like, why aren't they in, like, completely, like, bulletproof, like,
casing? Just, like, a bubble. Just everyone
being
getting
wheeled
bulletproof
around.
Bubbles. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, we were just kind of waiting for something to happen, but it was a peaceful day. Mm-hmm. So far, I'm probably jinxing it and all hell is going to break loose after we record, but it's fine.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was just thinking when I just made that comment of, like, so far. I was like, Allison, why did you say that? That's, like,
I always
famous
do
last
that.
Words.
It's right. I'm always out here hexing everything around me. It's fine.
Oh, my gosh. I love that so much. Well, we last episode was sort of serious. So we don't have, like, a whole lot of, like, excuse me, feedback or, like, listener stuff to tell you guys, because I think everybody that listened to last episode just kind of listened and absorbed it and went on with their life, which is what we hoped for. So, yeah, that part of the episode is going to be short and sweet this week.
Yes. I did get a lot of, like, personal feedback.
Yeah.
Which I guess we can kind of go over for a second. My mom said that she loved where we took it. And she said that, like, she was a little worried that it was going to go down a different route there in the beginning. And then she was glad that we took it where we did. and then one of my good friends texted me and was just, like, really happy with the way that we went about it, and kind of was very vulnerable about, like, our past and how we have transitioned. So it was really nice to hear people say that, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I know we got feedback too, like, Tati tagged us in her stories saying, like, she really appreciated the conversation too, which I really enjoyed seeing that feedback. We just like to hear from you guys. We don't want to be having these conversations. Like, obviously, they're not one-sided because you and I are having them together. But, like, we could just be doing this without microphones. Like, we want to, we want people to engage and give us their feedback when they have it. So I'm glad that that's, like, happening, you know?
Yes.
And, yeah. Oh, I thought it was funny, though. The only guest that we got, I put up for fun, like, a little question box of, like, what do you think we're recording about this week? And the only guess we got was about the inauguration.
Well, we'll definitely celebrate that, but
it's not the topic.
No, not the topic, no. We're going to stray away from politics for an episode or two.
We needed a capital B break.
Yes. It's very taxing to record those types of episodes. Like, I found myself getting so nervous last time, and I just felt pretty exhausted after, but I feel like it was worth the recording.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Worth the topic.
I think it was worth it, and it's always, that's how I feel, too. Like, even every time I post one of the resources to our Instagram still, I'm, like, double-checking everything that I read to make sure that it's correct, and when I link it on our, like, links page, I like go back 4 times and make sure the link actually goes to the thing that I want it to go to. And those types of episodes just carry more weight. And so you feel more responsible for them, I guess, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
But this episode's not going to be like that. This episode is a stupid topic. That
No, it's not stupid. It's not stupid.
Well, yeah, not stupid, but it's a much lighter topic.
It's a more lighthearted topic that people don't typically talk about because it's not necessarily, I don't know why people don't talk about it. It is a common thing. When we did the poll on our story, we asked if you live close or far away from your parents, and it literally was 50-50, and we had about 24 people respond, which is crazy because I feel like every time I talk about my parents living far away, people are like, What?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I'm 26 now. Like,
right. That's how I feel, too. Like, people are always like, you moved from Atlanta to Kansas City? And I'm like, yeah. Like, my family lives in Georgia.
Yeah. So when did you move away to be farther away from your parents? Not to be farther. Like, it's not like that was your it's not like that was your agenda, but
right. It was
when
that
did
was
you
my
move
sole
away
purpose.
From them? Yeah. No.
Well, I lived for college, I was a couple of hours away from them. They lived in like southeast of Atlanta, and I lived in like a north metro suburb of Atlanta for college. So I was already a couple hours away from them, and then when Jason and I got married in 2019, we decided we wanted to live in Kansas. Well, we decided like before then, obviously, but we moved in 2019 in June. So June this year will be 2 years that since I've lived in Georgia. Mm-hmm. So not a super long time, but long enough to like adjust to not having my parents around, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you're going through a lot of different life stages. Like huge life stages, like getting married and having your first child, and not having your parents there is probably a little different than what you expected, like, a long time ago.
Especially in the pandemic, because, like, when we got pregnant, I expected, like, oh, I'll have, like, 3 different baby showers because I'll have one in Kansas City, I'll have one in Atlanta with my family, and then, like, my girlfriends will probably end up coming up to Kansas City, like, as the due date gets closer. And, like, that's what I'd planned on. Whatever. And then obviously, like, the pandemic came around and, like, I had one virtual baby shower and that was it. So it's definitely, like, not at all what I expected any of those, like, milestones to be like, you know?
Yeah. And you didn't really expect to go through your first pandemic without them either. So,
right.
There's that.
Yep, exactly.
There's that unexpected thing.
So many people are like, yeah, in my like pod, like my quarantine pod or whatever, is my mom, my dad, my brother, and I'm like, my husband, at the time, unborn child, my midwife, like, that's it. My dogs.
Cats, my dogs.
But, yeah. But what about you? How long have you – I know that you've lived – like, away from them for a while, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. So, like, mine's a little complicated of a story, but we have time for it. So, in high school, I moved to Texas for a year with my stepdad and my mom. And so we went for a year because it was that miserable. Sorry if you're listening from Aledo, Texas. it was not a good school to be the new girl at. Mm-hmm. It was a very small, rich town. And so I'll just leave it at that for now. But my mom moved back with me and my older brother back to Georgia while my stepdad stayed in Texas. God bless them. Like, literally, I couldn't ask for a better parent support system. But when I graduated high school, my mom moved back out to be with my stepdad, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it was about, I think it was like from my junior and senior year of high school is when my mom lived with me and my brother while my stepdad was still in Texas. And then she left again after I graduated. Mm-hmm. So it seemed like, you know, it was kind of the opposite of what usually happens when you graduate high school. Typically, right. You move away from your parents and you're on your own because you left them. But it was kind of like
your parent left you.
Yeah. Oh, no, Mom, I don't mean it like that. Don't feel
no,
bad.
No, I don't mean it like that either. But it is the opposite. Like, you were literally the one to move away.
Yeah. Right. So I lived with my two older brothers when we when I graduated high school, but I was still I was traveling for like 3 hours to go to school. So when I would go home for the holidays, like instead of going back to my parents' house, I would be going back to this apartment where like my room is halfway used as a storage room and right. All my junk is there, but my brothers were living there too. So yeah, it's been since my freshman year in college, which was 2013. So that's almost 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 8 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If I'm doing math right, yeah. That's crazy. But yeah, so it's been an adjustment because, you know, I went from like the high school me to the college me to the post-college me to the adult me. And so and I've gone through so much since then. So,
right.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, man, that is a long time to like you've literally done all of your life stages away from your, because like when I was in college, my parents were still at least like a couple hours drive away, you know?
Yeah.
And I remember like being so, when things would happen, like comforted by the fact that I was only a couple hours away from them.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine like you just went completely cold turkey of like having
mm-hmm.
like being like, you know, normal, your parents are around, to like you didn't have a gradual, I don't know, for me I had like baby steps, nobody cut me off cold turkey, you know, like
I will say they did a very good job and they still do a very good job on making sure like the family gets together for huge events like weddings, babies are about to happen, and
right.
Graduations and sometimes birthdays, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, all of the holidays, they've done a really good job on making sure that they're not missing out on our lives, which yeah. I really appreciate because I know that I bet other parents are not like that. But, you know, it's not like I feel like I'm missing out on a relationship with them because I'm not. So oh, yeah. I am very grateful for that. But at the same time, like there are things that I never realized that would affect me, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I guess, like, too, there were probably a lot of good things about you having to be, like, so independent, like, so soon, you know?
Right.
I guess not soon, but, like, so quickly from being dependent to completely independent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was definitely something that I didn't think I needed, but I think in the long run, I've had to mature faster than people nowadays. I feel like nowadays you graduate college and then you move back in with your parents and you still have that dependency on them,
right.
Which is great. And I don't think there's any problem with that at all because it is easier. You don't have to pay rent. You don't have to pay groceries.
Right.
Most times anyways, from everyone that I've known. And because I didn't have that as an option, I've had to learn how to deal with those things on my own.
Right.
So,
well, yeah. That's how I feel with, like, I don't know, like pregnancy stuff, I guess, because I feel like people, it's not like I couldn't just call my mom. Like, I could just call her whenever I wanted to. But it wasn't the same thing as I feel like having your mom around, because I think that the people that were pregnant at the same time as me whose parents were around just kind of like saw what they needed and like did it for them, you know? And I am not a good person at like asking for anything that I need, like at all. And so yeah, that's just not, that's not my thing. But when you're so far away from your parents, like you have to ask or they don't know, like you have to tell them or they don't know. And I think that that's been not just like in pregnancy, but like my whole experience away from them. Like when I first was realizing that I was really struggling with like anxiety and panic disorder and that like I needed to go to therapy, I had been struggling with it for a while and was kind of feeling like, why don't they already see that or understand that or know that? And then like stepping back from it, and also like through therapy, I realized like, oh, they didn't see that because I was like, I didn't share that with them, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And so I think that that's something too, that being away from my parents, even when I was a couple hours away from them in college, taught me, is like when you grow up with your parents right there, they're so connected to you and they understand everything about you because you're right there, you know? And then we grow up and we expect our parents to like just understand us because they always have. At least that was my personal experience with my parents.
Yeah.
And yeah, then when you don't have that anymore, you're just kind of like, why don't you get me? Why don't you automatically understand me? And like, especially with my mom, I always felt like she always just got me and we were always right in step. And so then when I moved out and I had to explain things about myself to her, I would get frustrated about it at first. And my therapist was like, well, yeah, your mom obviously isn't going to know those things about you because those are new things about you and you don't live with her anymore. Like, obviously.
Why can't she read my mind from halfway across the country? Makes no sense.
Come on, mom. But, yeah, so I think that that, too, like, being away from my parents has forced me to realize, like, even with my parents, like with every single human being, I have to like communicate what I need and like what I'm feeling and what my experiences are, or else they're not gonna know, you know?
Yeah, that's a good point. I never really thought about it like that. There's been times where like I've been doing well, but my parents might not think so, like when they see me. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I promise I'm doing fine. You just don't see me every day. So it's been like kind of the same, but a little bit of opposite. It's like,
yeah. No, I've definitely had those experiences too, where like, I remember when I first moved into college, this is like, I do not struggle with any eating disorders. That is not, I'm just going to preface this story with that. I moved into college and just like when I get stressed, I don't have a lot of an appetite. And so like sometimes my weight will fluctuate like my weight fluctuates like 15 to 20 pounds on the reg.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be real. But especially in like stressful times or like times of, you know, adjustment, my weight will fluctuate like 5 or 10 pounds like underweight instead of overweight. And I always just have to recognize that like, oh, I'm just don't have an appetite. I have to force myself to eat, you know? And when I first moved into college, my mom was like so worried because I think she'd always like seen that change happen again, like over time because I lived with her. But then like when I came home from college the first time, she was like, oh my gosh, you have lost so much weight. Like, what's going on with you? And I was like thriving. I just needed to figure out how to understand my body and like know when to eat and the right things to eat. And you, like, I was 18, I was living off of ramen and animal crackers. Like, what do you expect? So I don't know, I just was like, yes, mom, I'm fine, I promise. I just need to learn how to feed myself appropriately.
But I'm promise stressed, I'm okay. I just need to eat, drink smoothies.
Yeah, right. And that's what I started to do. I ate, let me tell you something, freezing bagels like buying them in bulk and then freezing mm-hmm. them is the way to go when you're a college student, because bagels are good like any time of the day. You can eat one with peanut butter bagels in the morning. You can eat one as a grilled cheese for lunch. You can put like meat and make a whole sandwich on one for dinner. Like, you legitimately don't need any other bread. You can just have bagels. You can
literally do anything with bagels. I just... Can Let's just give a shout out to bagels. Right. No, we're not sponsored by a bagel
Sponsor
company
us
yet.
Bagels.
Whoever invented bagels, we're doing an ad for you right here.
No, but you know what? I always and bagels, bagels saved my literal ass as a college student because they're so quick. You could like pop a bagel in the toaster the same time you were like smoothing up your smoothie in the blender. And then head out the door, you know?
This is when we go into the ad. You know what? You know what have always helped me? Bagels. Bagels is always there for you. You can have it for lunch, dinner, or breakfast, or even a snack.
Anytime,
that
really.
That is B-A-G-E-L-S.
Use our code Val and Al for code for 10% off your first order of bagels.
There's
new customers only.
There's everything blueberry, plain, jalapeno, and cheddar.
Okay, wait. Have you ever seen any flavors of any? This is totally off topic. Flavors of anything that shock you? Because one time there was a flavor of bagel that was salmon artichoke, not like cream cheese, the actual bagel itself.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't know if that would be good.
That one could be. I'm not against it. But there's one that's called egg.
Egg?
I'm being for real.
Like just egg?
Egg. E-G-G. Egg. Like an egg bagel.
Ew. Okay. I think we need to... That, if we don't come up with a better call to action by the end of this, that's our new one. What is the strangest bagel flavor or, like, concoction that you've ever seen or heard of?
Please let us know, because we have salmon and artichoke and egg.
Yeah.
Does it get worse? I don't know. I really need to know, though.
Yeah. Ugh. Okay. Anyway, back to living far from your parents.
Back from our intermission.
Yeah, seriously. I think there's, like, a lot of unexpected growth, though, because even if you're, you know, even if it's not your parents, if it's, like, your guardian or just somebody who, like, deeply cares about you, who's been there for the majority of your life, like, they have got your best interest at heart. And so even though they're them noticing those little things of, like, you know, to them signal you might not be okay or – that signal everything's okay when it's maybe not okay, like, they're going to always have your best interest in heart, and they're going to check in on those things because they do. So I think it's important to, like, make sure that you're always communicating with those people because, yeah, like, you're going to meet a bunch of friends and stuff, but they're the people that raised you or that were there when you were little and have been with you forever are always going to have, like, a deeper rooted investment in you, you know?
And it's always going to suck hearing about it when – they bring up this concern. Mm-hmm. Like, drinking runs in my blood. Alcoholism runs in my blood. There's nothing I can do about that.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a topic that is kind of known in our family that we talk about. So when they are, like, concerned about my drinking, like, it does make me think whether it's, like, a serious problem for me or not. Probably mm-hmm. not, because I have – knowingly not let it get to that level. But at the same time, like, whenever they do bring it up, I'm like, oh my god, are you kidding mm-hmm. me? And then, like, I go home from my trip with them and then I think about it and I'm like, maybe, like, I should cut back a little more, you know? So, like, it's not like my mom's probably listening to, like, I told you. It's just, like, things that are very normalized within our age group. And then when they see it and they see, like, oh, like, she's drinking more than I remember. Mm-hmm. Should I be concerned? Should I not? And then they do say something. It feels like an attack at first. But at the same time, it's like, just because they're worried about my best interests, and then it does make me think, and then it does make me change my habits in the end, whether I like accept it at that moment or not. So just a warning for those who live far away from your parents or close to your parents, whenever they do bring up something that you're like kind of annoyed that they do in the moment. And then you go home at night and you're like, well,
you lay there and you're like, I probably should have responded to that.
Right. Yeah. Like, just like, it's just, it's all out of a place of love and it's all out of a place of concern. And if anyone's going to tell us the hard truth, it's going to be our parents, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it does make me like mature and certain aspects.
Oh, yeah. And I think that, like, when you move away from your parents, whether it's far away or just, like, down the street, it's impactful on you, you know? Like, you're all of a sudden the person that's in charge of stuff, and you have to make the decisions, and you have to buy your groceries. And, like, I don't want this episode to sound to anybody like us living states away from our parents means that, like, that's more difficult than if you live, you know, two blocks from your parents. Because that's not what we're trying to say at all. I think that just, like, moving away from your parents in general, no matter how far that is always, always an adjustment. And I don't know, I've just kind of, like, been thinking about that lately. It's probably because I'm a parent now. But
probably, probably that would, that
gee,
would definitely
I wonder
go
why.
Into, it's almost as if you are a parent.
Right. So strange. I'm considering things about parents now. Yes. Interesting.
There is like a certain level of dependency emotionally when you are living with your parents. And even if you do move out just down the street, my mom and I were talking about this the other day. It's like that cry that you get when someone hugs you and you're like, it's not okay, and you just start bawling. Like, I don't, like, that's, my mom is my person, my, like, emotional release person. Like, I, literally in third grade when I was upset that Caitlin was stealing my boyfriend, I remember clear as day being so upset about this, and my mom just, like, hugged me, and I just let it all out, and she was like, go wash your face, we're gonna have dinner, we're gonna have apple pie, you know? And so I don't have that person right next to me all the time, so I've had to almost manage my emotions on my own and do my own emotional release, like watching The Notebook in the bath for an hour. So it is hard emotionally, whether you're far away or close to your parents, to have to find a different emotional release. Like, they are a phone call away, obviously, but at the same time, like, it's just that hug.
It's,
you know what
different.
Hug I'm talking about?
Yes, it's different. I definitely do. Yeah, it's different. And it is hard because even if that's not the gap that your parent fills for you, like, there's something that they, you know, fulfill that you can only be around your parents or, you know, whoever holds that place in your life. And, yeah, once you don't have that accessible to you at all times, it's hard no matter what. Like, it's an adjustment, you know?
Yeah. But in the end, it makes us a stronger human. I think, and, you know, you kind of just have to learn things on your own at that point. It just kind of sucks.
Yeah. Well, and there's just so much unexpected. I think that's probably the point where, like, the unexpected growth in your life starts, because when your parents are around, they can kind of brace you for things. Like, when they can tell that you're, like, upset because your boyfriend broke up with you or whatever, they can, like, take you to a movie and cheer you up, or, like, you know, tell you all the reasons why that boyfriend wasn't good enough for you, or, and, like, kind of brace you to, like, move on from that thing and move on to the next one. But then when you're an adult, you have to decide for yourself, like, oh, this is me deciding it's time for me to move on from a thing and move on to the next one. And I think for me, that's been hard, like, a hard adjustment being an adult is, like, my parents, specifically my mom, were always very good at being like, you're going, I don't know, she would just always be like, you're going through this change as a person, and so you're probably feeling these ways, and later you won't feel that way anymore, you'll feel better, or, you won't feel better, but it won't be as bad, or whatever the case is, you know?
Yeah.
And always some sort of, like, path of, like, moving forward. But I think for me, I deciding for myself, like, oh, this is the end of the road for me for something, and I'm moving on, and that's okay, and I'm going to be okay. Yeah. That part for me, being an adult, has been hard. Of, yeah, like, nobody telling me, like, this is over for you, and you need to move on, and that's fine, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it's like moving past life stages is harder because whereas when you have your parents right next to you all the time, they see the life stage that they're in, mm-hmm. That you're in. They see all of the daily things that are going on around you. So they're able to tell you exactly what life stage you're in and what life stage you have upcoming next. Right. Whereas, like, when they don't see you every day, they don't necessarily know exactly what life stage you're in. They kind of, mm-hmm. they have an idea, obviously, but it's harder for them to guide you along the way because they don't see all the little things that happen to you every day.
Right.
So yeah. I get that because you have to, and when you're in the moment, you can't just be like, oh, yeah, like, this is going to get better. It's so hard to just tell right. yourself that, you know?
Yeah, and, like, your friends don't even know if it's going to get better because your friends either haven't been through it or, like, aren't far enough removed from it to tell you, like, for sure that thing's going to get better, you know?
Yeah.
So I feel like it's just that for me as an adult is, like, I don't hear that discussed a lot often of, like, having to decide for yourself that a life stage is over. That for me is so hard because I always feel like, what if I miss this and I want to go back to it or – like, I always feel like I'm going to regret something. And I don't know why I didn't feel like that when somebody else was telling me. Like, you would think being in more control over it would, like, make me feel like I would have less regrets. But for some reason, I just don't trust myself enough, I guess. That's probably what that means.
Yeah, I think I relate to that, actually. Yeah, you have to have a lot of self-trust to trust yourself that, like, it's okay to move on from a certain thing in your life, you know? Yeah, whereas, like, when you have, I don't know, your parents are just someone who have gone through it, and I think because they, like, you're their whole life, mm-hmm. well, at least for me, I know, like, I'm not saying, speaking for everyone here, because I know I'm very lucky to have the type of relationship right. I do with my mom and my stepdad, but, oh my gosh, I got distracted. What was my point?
No. You were saying you're lucky to have the relationship that you do. Oh, my gosh. What did you say right before that? Hang on. I'm going to pause this, and we're going to figure it out.
When your parents see – like, I feel like your parents see you as their entire world. Mm-hmm. So when they see you in that light, they're able to kind of guide you better, whereas your friends are just, like – they have their own stuff going on. They have, you know, their jobs. They have their school. They have their – dreams and aspirations and all that right. and your parents, like, you are their life, so, like, when you have that guidance, I feel like it's a lot easier for you to follow along and listen to because your parents, you're the reason why they're the reason why you exist,
right? Well, and then also you're the reason why they exist, like, legit, right,
yeah.
You're the reason that they're the people that they are today, at least, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's how I feel, too. Like, your friends, no matter how much they care about you, you're just another – you're another thing in their life. And you're, like, a happy mm-hmm. addition and an addition that they love to have around, obviously. But you're not, like, the end-all, be-all. You're not, like you said, everything or their entire world. And so I think that the advice from them doesn't come off as, like, serious or as pressing, at least – because of that, because you're like, well, this is just another thing in your life, you know, another thing right. that you're giving attention to. So I definitely understand that. But I think it's so funny that we had to go back and find your train of thought.
Oh, my gosh.
That's going to be time one of, like, 20,000 on this podcast, probably.
I know. Well, I get distracted very easily, so.
Same here.
It is all good. What is one piece of advice that you would give somebody who is just now moving away from their parents or their parents just moved away from them?
If you have a good relationship with your parents, give them permission to call you all the time, because I know, like, my mom was not, like, worried that she was, like, calling me too much, but I could tell, like, when she checked in, she would be like, okay, well, I'll call you in a couple days, or, you know, she would try to step back a little bit. And then I think, like, my sophomore, junior year of college, I started just calling her more, and there was a period of time where I was calling her, like, every day pretty much. And I don't know, since then, it's just been a lot easier to just, like, randomly FaceTime each other, or – and those are the parts of your day that, like – or of my day, at least, that I miss with my parents, are, like, not the big things, but, like, all of the little tiny daily things.
It's the little things. When I go there – to visit them in Texas. I say they're assuming everyone knows what I'm talking about. my parents live in Texas, and I do go and visit. And when I do, my favorite parts of the day are the morning coffee with my mom,
mm-hmm.
And eating dinner together. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something so simple. And, like, when we just went to Texas, I felt so bad because, like, obviously in the pandemic, we don't really do anything. But I brought Preston along, and all I wanted to do was just, like, sit there and talk and, like, not barely even have the TV on. And it's, like, the little conversations that you don't really think about missing, but you do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely is the little things. It's not, like, the going to the pool or, like, going to the roller coasters or vacations. Like, it is just the conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be my tip, I guess, is, like, just give your parents permission to reach out to you. And, like, I know I'm in a very privileged position where I feel like my parents don't reach out to me too much. So some people are probably listening to this being like, my mom calls me 28 times a day. I'm definitely not going to give her more access to my life.
Yes.
But if you're like me and your parents try at least to respect your boundaries as an adult, let them know that you want to hear from them, at least. Maybe don't give them more access to your life, because I don't want to make that blanket statement for everybody. But let them know that you do like hearing from them, and give them that reassurance, even if it's only on one of those 28 calls of the day. Be like, I liked hearing from you, Mom, or I liked hearing from you, Dad, or whatever. Yeah. Like, just give them that reassurance, you know?
My parents give me space, too, and I really appreciate it. I feel like the people that I know personally, their parents are closer and their parents call them more frequently.
Me too.
Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's because when you are far away from your parents, like, they understand that they have their lives going on. It's not like they just sit around waiting for you to call. And so I feel like because they know that they have their lives going on and you have yours, I feel like that's when the respectful boundary kind of comes into play, because it's always the ones who live far away that are, they call like once or twice a week, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what do you think your piece of advice would be?
I was thinking about it while you were talking about it. So it kind of relates to yours. It kind of goes hand in hand, but mine would be something that I still struggle with. And it's just kind of like, humble yourself. When you, like, when they call, when you're, like, stressed about cooking dinner, it literally happened to me the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I was stressed about cooking dinner on time because we were planning on recording our podcast a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like such an asshole for being frustrated. Not frustrated at them, because, Mom, I really appreciated the phone call. But in the moment, I was, like, so stressed out.
You're
and I was like,
stressed,
oh, my gosh, like, my mind is going a million miles per hour. But after the phone call and after I had my stuff figured out, I was like, wow, I wish I would have just stopped and enjoyed the conversation.
Yeah.
So
I've definitely had moments
is,
like that with my mom too.
Yeah. And I'm a very frazzled person after work. After my, like, 9-to-5 job, I just want to do all the things because I feel like I haven't lived all day.
Yeah.
And so when things happen at that during that time, I get so frazzled. And so I think one thing that I would give my advice to myself and other people is just, like, when you are in those frustrated moments, like, just humble yourself a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pause time, because you don't realize what can happen tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
and just enjoy that phone conversation, no matter how long it is, no matter what it's about, because one day you're going to wish that you could talk about random shit that doesn't matter. You
know? Right. Yeah. Well, and even, like, not even in, like, a sad way, one day you'll wish. Maybe, like, just one day you'll be too busy or they'll be too busy and you wish.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you never right. know. Yeah. So just take every opportunity that you can and savor it. I like that. That's good advice. I need to get better at that, too, because I definitely, like you said, like, I'm not necessarily frustrated with them, but, like, just frustrated or stressed in general, and then it comes out that way, you know?
It's like, it's almost like how, have you seen the movie Soul yet?
No, but I want to watch it so bad.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so one of the, like, lessons from the movie is just living in the moment and enjoying mm-hmm. the moment, and I feel like it's not necessarily having to do with the topic necessarily, but it kind of does. I mean, like, when you live far away from your parents, you kind of have to realize when it's important to live in the moment and when it's not.
Oh, yeah.
Like, when they call and you're frantically trying to cook dinner and you have all a thousand things going on, just, like, take a step back and, like, appreciate that moment because you never know what can happen. Like, not in a bad way or a good way, but, like, I don't know. That I think that's something that I need to remember.
Yeah.
Especially, I think our tensions with life are just really high right now for all of us. And so that goes to all aspects of your life, but especially this one.
Yeah. I love that. That's great. I'm glad you asked that question. I think that that should be our call to action in addition to the bagel question. Do you want to know the answer? Right. I do want to know the answer to the weirdest bagel flavor or concoction you've ever seen. I do want to know that. But maybe, like, also let us know if you live near or far from your parents, if you feel comfortable letting us know that. And then, like, a piece of advice for people who also mm-hmm. are in your situation, whether you live near or far. Because I think that would be obviously our experiences that we live far. But it would also be good to have some people weigh in who live near because, like you said, our poll was 50-50. So we need to have those people chime in, too. So if you're one of those people... Yeah. Chime in. I'm probably going to tag some of my friends. I'm going to be like, hey, you live close to your parents. Help me answer this question.
And even if you do live close with your parents, what is something that you would give advice to somebody who isn't? Like, because I feel like they have a different perspective on their relationship with their parents. Like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it'd be cool to hear from everyone.
Mm-hmm. I agree. That's a lot of food for thought. Just really give us your thoughts. This is, for me, this is very thought, way more thought provoking than I expected it to be.
Yeah, me too. You would think that it'd be, like, we were like, oh, it's so lighthearted. We're just
going to
mess around for 30 minutes and then just go along. My mom thought it was going to be like she probably will cry listening to it just because that's who she is. But she was like, oh, that's going to be so hard. I was like, I'll be fine. I'll have my moments.
Aww.
I had my moments where I felt like, you know, the lump in
the
your
lump.
Throat.
But I know, me too.
We're criers in my family.
Yeah, we are too. We're especially me and my mom. Oh my gosh. We always make fun of my mom because she cried in Toy Story 3. And we're always like, because it was literally like 5 minutes into the movie when Andy's packing up all of his stuff to go to college. And my mom started crying and she was like, I can't believe Andy's going to college. And we were like, Mom, Andy is not even a real person. Andy is a mixture of light and sound. Like, what are
you know
talking
what will make
about?
Me cry? I don't even have to watch the movie. I can think about The Lion King.
Don't even say
losing. It. I know. I will cry without even... I haven't seen that movie in years. Mm-hmm. Years. Because of that moment. And I refuse to watch it because it makes me cry so easily. And people laugh at me.
Oh, my God. So that was, like, my first obsession as a kid was that movie, The Lion King.
Oh, God.
And, like, there are pictures of me as, like, a young child with, like, armfuls of Lion King stuffed animals. And, like, aww. I got obsessed with plastic, like, those little plastic animals, those little figurines that you would play with. Yeah. Do people still play with those? I feel like that was a total 90s
action
kid
figures.
Thing. Yeah.
That's definitely a 90s kid thing.
Yeah.
They have, like,
do
Roblox
they...
and
yeah.
Minecraft now.
But those tubes of plastic animals that you could get,
yes,
that was, like,
they were
my
the best.
Shit. Bring that back. I loved that.
That's, like, what they use in therapy now. I've
yes.
used that in therapy.
Yes, exactly. No, but that, I was so obsessed with The Lion King. I would, like, play with plastic animals all the time and act like they were, like, the pride and stuff. It was ridiculous.
Oh, my gosh. I totally relate to that. We had a ton.
I know. We did, too. Oh, my gosh. Well, yes, let us know all the things we just asked for. Anything else you can think of from this episode, I'm interested to hear. I think everybody's perspective will be a little bit different on this, you know?
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I agree.
You can obviously do all of that on our Instagram at thisis20pod. That's at T-H-I. Oh, my goodness. At T-H-I-S-I-S-T-W-E-N-T-Y. P-O-D. I was like, wait, how do you spell this?
Wait a minute, what is it?
And if you want to make fun of me for my spelling error, you can follow me and DM me at Allison R. Carpenter, at AllisonRCarpenter.
And then you can always DM me and make fun of me to my face at val.burns. It is that is at val.byrnes.
I love those signouts. All right, well, that's it, you guys. If you want to make fun of us, give us feedback, you know where to do it. And yeah, we'll be back next episode with a different topic. It'll be a little bit more planned out next week, I think. Next week,
probably.
We're going to try to be a little bit more structured about it. But we'll see. It's a choose-your-own-adventure at this point.
Yeah. I mean, this was fun, though. I liked this conversation.
Yeah, me too. I think I'm going to like listening back to it, too. But
yeah,
all right. Well,
me too.
Thank you guys for joining us for – is this episode 4? Yeah?
Episode 4.
Yes. So yep, thank you
is.
For joining us for episode 4. And yeah, do you have anything else, Val?
I don't. We're over and out. Bye, everybody.
All right. Bye.